Good evening, this is Pastor Stoltz, and welcome to our Lenten service. We'll be using the order of Vespers, which is found on page 41, if you care to follow along. The scripture readings that I will be reading shortly, James 1, 2-15, Luke 22, 24-32. My sermon text, John 18, 3-12. We'll also be reading Psalm 51 responsively, and that's on page 41. No, I'm sorry. That's on page 134 in the hymnal. And let us begin. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Alleluia. The responsive psalm reading is Psalm 51, and that is on page 134. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, and build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. So far. reading from James chapter 1, verses 2 to 15. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and the tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich in that he is made low, because as a flower of the grass he passes away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised them that love him. But let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. So far. St. Luke chapter 22, verse 24 to 32. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And Jesus said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he doth serve. For whether is greater, the man sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you that serves. You are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said to Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, and that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, be strengthened. Your brothers. my sermon text, John 18, verses 3 to 12. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers of the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? And they answered, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be filled, which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. And then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's ear, and cut his ear off. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band of the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. So far. Let me first begin by telling you a story from the Old Testament. It's midnight on the plains of Esdraelon. The Amalekites and the Midianites, the enemies of God and Israel, they line up along the valley of Jezreel like grasshoppers. For the past 7 years, at the time of harvest, the Midianites would swarm across the Jordan and spread over the land as far as Gaza, destroying whatever they could. God's people finally repented and called upon God for help. It was then that God took measures to deliver them. God called a man by the name of Gideon to gather his people for battle against their enemy. 32,000 men left their homes and farms to respond to that call, the call of battle. But even this army of 32,000 men seemed small compared to the 135,000 men under Midian. But in the eyes of God, the forces of Gideon with his 32,000 men was still too many. So through a test, God reduced these 32,000 men to only 300. 300 unskilled fighting men. They alone were chosen by Gideon and by God to prepare for battle. Just think of it. There were 450 Midianites for each one of Gideon's men. That's not very good odds. But God was on the side of Gideon. It is a midnight watch, and dividing his men into three companies and arming them only with trumpets in one hand and a burning lamp in the other, Gideon gives them only one order. As I do, so shall you do. And now the time has come. Gideon's trumpet sounds clear. His burning lamp crashes to the ground, fanning into a flame, flashing brightly in the midnight darkness. And immediately his men did the very same thing. 300 trumpets sounded, 300 lamps are smashed, 300 torches waved brilliantly in the darkness. And 300 voices ring out through the air, shouting, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Well, the element of complete surprise causing panic and confusion in the camp of the Midianites brings about a complete riot. The Midianites, thinking that they were being attacked by thousands, they drew their swords in confusion and began killing each other. 120,000 men were killed by their own sword. Well, what a contrast we have here between Gideon and the Garden of Gethsemane so many centuries later. It too is midnight, and yes, there too are bobbing torches and swaying lanterns. But they indicate the approach of a mob, not an army, led by a man named Judas. In our Old Testament story, the flaming torches in the hands of Gideon's men were ignited with the divine spark of obedience in God's word. The torches and the lamps carried in the hands of Judas and his followers were flaming with the fires of hate and hell. The mob with Judas was made up of men from the temple guard, servants of the high priest, and other enemies whose hearts were filled with hate for Jesus Christ. God and Gideon, with only 300 men, go against 135,000 trained soldiers. Judas and his mob go into the Garden of Gethsemane to capture only one individual. It was in the bright moonlight that they come with torches and lanterns, thinking that Jesus might try to escape by perhaps hiding in the bushes. But how mistaken they were. Jesus had done no wrong. There was no reason why he should hide himself. After all, Jesus knew that this was his hour of darkness. He knew what was ahead of him. There was no confusion, but only calm. As the lights from the flickering torches play on the face of Jesus. And when Jesus asked them, "Whom seek ye?" they indicate by their reply that they had not recognized him. For they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Why was it because of the darkness of the garden that they didn't recognize him? Or was it because he was so calm, so serene, so untroubled? Looking at him, they didn't think, or did they think, surely this is not a criminal? This can't be Jesus of Nazareth, the man who deserves to die? And how strange was their reaction to the force of Jesus' words, "I am he." They fell to the ground, three little words, and they were stunned and stricken to the ground. Could it be that their reaction to his words, "I am he," was a conviction of their own guilt? Did Jesus perhaps touch their consciences with the evil that they were about to do? And now in this hellish torchlight, Christ's concern is for his disciples. "If you seek me, then let these go their way." You see, Jesus knew that he was about to die. But his disciples were to carry on after his death. They were to be his witnesses even unto the ends of the earth, pointing to the salvation he had brought. There in that hour, when the forces of darkness were beginning to unleash their hatred against him, he thinks of those whom he called to be his followers. Here we see Jesus as the real shepherd of souls, caring for and securing the safety of the flock. He and he alone was willing to bear the brunt of their hate. He wanted his disciples spared. Well, Jesus deals with us this way, as he did with his disciples. Only God knows how many dangers we have been spared. And I wonder how many times Jesus has said about you and me, "Let these go their way." Yes, in the torchlight of that night, Jesus willingly and deliberately gives himself up into the hands of his enemies. This was their hour. Judas had given the leaders of the mob a signal, "Whosoever I shall kiss, the same is he." Judas also said, "Hold him fast. Make sure that he will not escape." Here we see the depths of sin, the stupidity that Judas could be so blinded as not to consider the omnipotence of Jesus Christ. How hypocritical Judas approaches Jesus, the creator of the universe, and kisses him. That kiss, which was placed upon the master's cheek, was prompted by hell itself. But have we not too betrayed the master with a kiss of sin? How often have we sold Jesus out, as it were, for less than 30 pieces of silver, in order to keep a so-called peace in the circle of family or friends? But in the torchlight of the garden, we also see the compassion of Jesus. He says to Judas, "Friend." Jesus does not draw away from Judas. He permits himself to be kissed, and in it all, he still calls Judas friend. It's so evident that Jesus does not want to hurl the soul of Judas into the eternal darkness and death of hell. Jesus calls himself friend in order to show Judas that it's not too late for him to turn from his evil and to seek forgiveness. The question Jesus asked Judas is also asked of us. "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Is it our love for him that we have come to this house of God? Is it because we want to show him our appreciation that we have assembled here this evening? Yes, yes indeed. We gather for worship, showing our love and appreciation for all that he has done for us. And now, the flickering light of the torches reveals something else. It reveals the flashing of a sword. Bold Peter rises up in defiance of Jesus, or in defense of Jesus, and drawing his sword, he begins to swing it and strike the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. And again, the torchlight reveals the loving power of Christ in healing the victim. It is here that Jesus reproves Peter. "Do you not know," says Jesus, "that my Father could send me 12 legions of angels if he did not want me to be delivered into their hands? But no, this is the hour of darkness. I must drink that cup." Regrettably, we too have been touched by the torch-lighted flames of Satan. Our sins too are great and many. But greater yet is our forgiveness and redemption through faith in Christ's atoning sacrifice. May our saving faith in this redemption and salvation shine forth as we hold high the torch of the gospel. May our lamps always be ready to light up the way that leads to Jesus Christ and eternal life. Amen. For our offering hymn, let's read the first two verses of hymn 441. 441. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone. A trust, O Lord, from thee. May we thy bounties thus as stewards true receive, and gladly as thou blessest us, to thee our first fruits give. Amen. We now have confession and absolution, which is found on page 16 if you have a desire to read it. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you're following along in the hymnal, please turn to the bottom of page 42. 42. And then we will move over to the bottom of page 43 and follow the liturgy out. Let my prayer be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that we, being defended from thee by the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness. This is through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Bless me the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you now and forever. Amen. Depart in peace. Amen.